Grace and peace be to you from him who has given his all that we may be wholly his dear possession in time and for all eternity. To him be our thanks and praise. Amen. This evening we turn our attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. The people stood watching. The rulers were ridiculing him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also made fun of him. Coming up to him, they offered him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription written above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Amen. I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Over 50 years ago, Wilt Chamberlain used to be one of the rising stars of basketball. He was almost unbelievable. On March 2nd of 1962, he went down in the history books as the only professional basketball player who scored 100 points in a single NBA game. He played magnificently. And out of his 32 free throws, he made 28 of them. No small feat, especially for Wilt. You see, in his early career, Wilt was terrible at free throws. Layups, oh, he could make those with three opponents hanging on him all at the same time. But put him 15 feet away from the basket and give him a clear shot, and he'd miss almost every one. Until, of course, he took some lessons from Rick Barry. Rick Barry told him, or showed him, a new way of throwing free throws up. Here, in this historic game, he made those 28 points by throwing the ball underhanded from his knees, otherwise known as the granny shot. He learned that from Rick Barry. Rick Barry had been doing it ever since he was playing college basketball. The people would scream from the stands, "Ah, you shoot like a girl," you know. But others would scream back, "But he's making all the points." Here, Rick Barry, during his professional basketball career, averaged 9 to 10 missed free throws in every season, while all the other NBA players missed somewhere around 100 or so. To this day, Rick Barry still holds the number one record for three free throws. A granny shot that is proven through time to be superior. And yet, time after time, these professional basketball players say, "No, I'm going to shoot overhand, and I don't care if I make a one of them, I'm not going to do the granny shot and embarrass myself." Isn't that remarkable? It doesn't seem like something that should work, but it's proven that it does work. But I'm still not going to do it, because it's just too embarrassing. I wonder if that isn't a lot like repentance. Doesn't sound like it should really work, but it does work. But for so many people, "I'm still not going to do it. It's too embarrassing." Well, this Lenten season, Jesus looks upon us and he asks, what are you going to do? Repent. Turn to Jesus. He holds the key to heaven. The Roman soldiers took great delight in killing Jesus, this peasant Jew. They had no problems with beating him until he was black and blue, spitting in his face and whipping him bloody, and then nailing him to the cross. He wasn't anything to them. They weren't looking for some Jewish Messiah. He was just another object for their sadistic sport. But what was truly sad during Jesus' crucifixion were the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who were all gathered around his cross mocking him. Instead of crying out in repentance, they insulted him and mocked him. They refused to believe in him, and they certainly didn't want anyone else to believe in him. And they want to say, look how embarrassing this guy truly is. Who in their right mind would ever have any trust in him? They wouldn't be caught dead bowing before him, repenting of their sins, waiting for him to impart his forgiveness. No, to them he was just a big embarrassment hanging on the cross, kind of like a granny shot. Who wants anything to do with him? They didn't want him, and they didn't want anyone else to believe in him. And yet there was one, wasn't there? One person who didn't care how embarrassing it was in that moment. One person who didn't care what the spectators were shouting at him. A criminal. A criminal listening and taking in all they were saying about Jesus. What? Yeah. He healed the sick? He raised the dead? He proclaimed forgiveness on tax collectors and prostitutes? Isn't it remarkable? With no one noticing, as that cross was taking his life away from him, the Holy Spirit was giving life to him. And he cried out, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you see how bold that confession is? That confession of sins? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. He's actually agreeing with the executioner. I deserve to die because I broke your law. Oh. When last have we ever confessed that, you know, all the terrible things that are happening in my life, you know, I really deserve to have them happen because I've been so evil? When last did you confess, I actually deserve a much more rotten life, many more troubles in my life because I have done... fill in the blank. You know your sins so much better than anyone else. There is a bold confession. And this is where the story doesn't make sense, but it works. Jesus appeared totally defeated, a man truly hung out to die. And not only does this criminal confess his sins to him, he's asking this bloody remainder of a body, this Jesus, to have mercy on him. Wow. The criminal recognized it was a terrible thing to fall under the condemnation of the state. Could you imagine what it's like to fall under the condemnation of the Lord God Almighty and spend eternity in hell? And so he pleads to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. As embarrassing and as pitiful as Jesus looked, this criminal believed that Jesus was not only innocent of all crimes, he was none other than a king. And that he was stepping into his kingdom after he died. Well, what kind of kingdom do you step into after you're dead? Heaven. He's the king of heaven. The king of heaven holds the keys to heaven. Remember me, you who hold those keys. And Jesus answered. What did Jesus answer? They said, you're an idiot, criminal. I can't do anything for you, and I can't do anything for myself. No. What does Jesus answer? I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Here Jesus proclaims for the whole world to hear that he truly does hold the keys to heaven, to paradise. He can promise this thief, you're going to walk with me through the gate of heaven everlasting. Jesus was dying, but he wasn't defeated. No, in his dying, he was victorious over sin, death, hell, and Satan. And that's where repentance comes in. Repentance. That sincere sorrow over all we have done to offend our holy God, and that absolute confidence that this is exactly why Jesus died for our sins. And repentance really does work. It may at first blush seem embarrassing, humiliating, a granny shot that we should offer our prayers from our knees to someone who was crucified. And yet nonetheless, we still each need to bow before our Lord, the crucified and risen Savior, and pour forth our hearts, confess what we have done wrong, and trust that by his death and his resurrection, he has bolted forever the door to hell and opened wide the gate to heaven, that we too might be with him forever in glory. There is no substitute for God-pleasing repentance. It's interesting that Wilt Chamberlain became a superstar in basketball. But with that fame came arrogance. He went back to shooting his free throws overhand, and his score dropped. He got to the point where it was just too embarrassing. He's too big of a guy to do something so humiliating as shooting a granny shot, even though it would work. Even though he saw it work in his very own life. This Lenten season, we talk a lot about repentance. We know what it is. It's even worked in our lives many a time when we've been crushed and burdened. But might we be tempted this Lenten season to only talk about repentance and not really repent? Repent from the bottom of our hearts? Are we too big to do something so embarrassing? Too sophisticated, too spiritual? Let's move on to other things, Pastor. And miss out on all the grace the Lord has in store for us? This Lenten season, it's brought to mind that we haven't just made some bad choices. We have done evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the pictures that float in our minds and the words that we whisper from our lips and what we've done with our bodies, reminds us we do deserve the dungeons of hell and a miserable life here on earth. We may fool other people, but we're not going to fool the Lord. He knows all of our sins oh so intimately. And so he asks, what are you going to do with your sins this Lenten season? Shove them under the bed? We certainly don't want to stand at the foot of the cross mocking Jesus. But are we tempted to stand on the brow of the hill in the distance and just watch what other people are doing to Jesus? Jesus invites us to do the most embarrassing thing of all, to climb up on that cross with that criminal, to climb up there and confess, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve," and to truly pour forth our hearts from what we have done, not what other people have done to us, and plead, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Will the world laugh at us? Of course it will, because it doesn't want to confess its sins. The world would rather go to hell rather than ask Jesus for forgiveness. But along with that criminal, we'll keep our eyes riveted on Jesus as he dies to pay for our sins and the sins of the world, everyone that we confess. And we'll keep our eyes riveted on him as he closes his eyes and enters his eternal kingdom to rule us in his grace, in his favor. This Lenten season, when our hearts cry out in agony over what we've done, our souls will also rejoice in Jesus' cross and the forgiveness that that spells out for us. That is why Jesus was on the cross next to the criminal. Both the criminal and the Savior together. In payment for us all, Jesus died and rose that we might have peace this Lenten season. And you know, soon Jesus will come to you and me, and he'll whisper in our ears what he whispered in this criminal's ears. "Today, you will be with me in paradise because I spilt my blood for you." Do not let the world shame you into disowning Jesus or treating him with just an academic, intellectual knowledge. No, rather, pour out your hearts to him. Confess your sins to him and trust with all your heart in his forgiving grace. Repent. Turn to him. He holds the keys of heaven. Amen.